Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 19th of September, recording at 9:40 p.m. And that's still British summertime. Now, my goodness, what an interesting couple of days we've had here. First, just a little bit of comment on the Bernanke move, which seems to have surprised so many people. And why was that? It's worth asking. And I think first, an awful lot of talking heads, judging from the CNBC programs and other television channels, had pretty well convinced themselves that Bernanke was going to commence tapering here this month. And then there were other people who recalled some of Bernanke's earlier market forecasts, in which he talked if this happened and that happened in terms of improving outlook for the economy, that he might well commence tapering in the autumn. But the key point that they missed out on is that it was always going to be based on the data. And I think Bernanke was fairly consistent about that all along. And really, it was his numbers in terms of the employment figures or the unemployment figures going down, his figures for global GDP, and particularly, obviously, the U.S. economy's rate of growth, which did not measure up. And so, you know, you weigh it all up here. And as I had often said in these audios and also in my written commentary, that if Bernanke did go ahead and commence tapering this month, that it would probably be more for political reasons than his targets, or it certainly couldn't be because of the targets that that he had said. Now, targets can make you a hostage to fortune, of course, and I think particularly the unemployment target, because job creation here is tough in this environment. And it's always tough after significant recessions, but this time around, I think we had the additional factor, which is the accelerated rate of technological innovation, where companies prefer smart machines, and these machines are getting smarter at a much faster pace. It's exponential. And so they prefer those alternatives rather than hiring people. And there's a disturbing article out which appeared just a short while ago from Bloomberg to say women, the headline is "Women Waiting Tables Provide Most of Female Gains in the U.S. Jobs Market." So it's a tough environment here, but Bernanke has not commenced the tapering, as we know, and as Owen mentioned in his audio last night, this has likely improved the overall market for stock markets throughout the rest of the year. Now, it would certainly look almost schizoid if Bernanke were to come back in October and say, well, now the economy has improved a month later, and I can start tapering. So realistically, it seems very likely that the earliest starting point for Bernanke tapering is going to be in December. But then again, that will have to depend on what the evidence actually shows, I assume, unless he's under even more political pressure, which he ignored this time around. It'll also depend partly on who the next head of the Federal Reserve, who that appointment will actually be. And if it's Janet Yellen, I think there'll be less pressure to commence tapering if there is not good data evident in terms of both the unemployment figures and in terms of the economy. My own expectation is that we will see the economy growing still really quite slowly, and that we will also see that the unemployment figures are still well above Bernanke's targets when we get to December. That's not a bad market overall for global stock markets, because you have this slow growth and these very favorable monetary conditions. However, I've emphasized that this is going to be a choppy environment here, and I certainly think that is actually going to continue. Now, if you are long equities, and I know most of you are, and have avoided any of the short positions just prior to Bernanke's decision, you're certainly better off here today. But what we need to remember, though, we're likely to see a range-bound market environment for the most part, and certainly the choppy environment, I think, is likely to continue. And the net effect of the recent rally that we've had, and not alone or no, not least yesterday's gains, that we've got a lot of markets back into a somewhat overbought condition here in the short term. I think this is an environment in which it pays to buy after sharp setbacks when markets are clearly oversold on the basis of stochastics, and you can also see it with the naked eye in looking at the trends of chart activity. And you can also see it in rising fear levels when it actually occurs in terms of crowd sentiment. And I think it is also not a bad idea to pare back on positions that you're not happy, and that's the qualification, that you're not happy to hold for the longer term overall. So in other words, a buy low, sell high environment going forward. Now, there are a number of positions that I am happy to hold for the longer term, and I think that with those positions, I would only consider lightening really if some of them got very overextended relative to their rising 200-day moving averages. Okay, so what actually happened in here today? Well, the action that we saw yesterday continued on into today, and then was pegged back somewhat. In other words, Wall Street in the pre-opening was up about 50 points, well, on the Dow, and that closed down 40 points. The S&P was up 8 at one stage, closed down 3 points. The Nasdaq did hold on to a modest gain. We also saw Canada, Mexico show small losses, in Brazil down 1%. European markets, which closed earlier, were steady here overall. Number of gains, well, I think they were all to the plus side. And some of these gains, well, the biggest one I see is the FTSE MIB, that's the Italian market, up 1.43%, and the UK market is up 1% as well. So is the Spanish market. We might see a little bit of selling pressure early on tomorrow in the European stock markets because some of them are getting a bit overextended here in the short term. Asia was certainly interesting. We had solid gains here today. Japan up 1.8%. The Hang Seng up 167, Australia up 1.10%, but the big gains are really to follow. China, very modest gains here among the mainland China indices. Taiwan down a little bit, Korea down a little bit, and the Indian market. Big surge, up 3.66 on the Nifty Index and 3.43 on the Sensex Index overall. And one of the reasons it's helped a number of these emerging markets, such as India, and well, let me run through some of the rest of these powerful gains here. All the ASEAN indices are higher, but the star performers in ASEAN, Thailand 3.47, Indonesia 4.65% gain, the Philippines a little less, but still 2.81%. And they've been helped considerably by the additional firmness in their currencies. Remember, which had been a bit of a disaster area, causing a lot of people to flee the ASEAN markets. Well, the currencies have certainly strengthened somewhat against the US dollar in recent weeks, and that may continue a little bit further overall. But these are the high beta markets. They are going to be the most volatile of all. So here, the buy low, sell high, a strategy is most applicable overall. And I think there are good reasons for feeling that we're closer to the upper side of their ranges for the next few weeks than the lower side of their ranges. In other words, they hit important highs in May, as you know, and then fell in, I think, for the most part, in two downward waves, became very overextended, and they have certainly corrected that extremely oversold condition, although they're certainly still below the highs that they had seen back in May, and those will be hard to challenge, in my opinion. So what else happened in here today? Well, the government bonds, those yields have or fell back quite sharply in the U.S. markets yesterday, and the U.S. 10-year. I'm just going to talk about, I won't talk about the bond futures and the yield charts because I think it becomes too confusing overall. So I'll just talk about the yield charts in here. And the U.S. 10-year yield, you remember that got up to 3% a few weeks ago and has fallen back quite sharply. I'll just put that chart up. Pregnant silence here as I do that, and it was up a little bit here today, having been down close to the around the 2.70 level, closed at 2.75. But the interesting thing about that is that it did break slightly below its last lower high, which had been seen in late August. And I don't know if you remember the chart, but you can look it up in the library easily enough. But since its important May low, it had had an unbroken progression of higher reaction lows right on up until yesterday, when that was broken, and that's after the run to 3%, as I just mentioned. So my feeling overall is that we have seen at least a peak of near-term significance in this market, and possibly more of medium-term significance for the yield. So I don't expect the 3% level to get taken out in the near term. I think we might well see, and if it is unable to recover the decline that we saw yesterday, a sharp decline down to 2.7, and if it's unable to offset that that downward move, we're likely to see over the next few weeks some additional retracement of the gains that we've seen since the May low. I think it would be very surprising to see the May low actually tested. I don't expect that to happen. That's way down just above the 1.6 level. But do we come down a little further to the 2.6, 2.5, maybe even 2.4? I think that could quite easily happen over the next few weeks and months. And that would certainly help to create a favorable overall environment for stock markets. And certainly Bernanke was very concerned about the sharp rise that we had seen imposed by the market in terms of these long-term yields. Okay, what else to mention of interest? The huge rallies that we saw in precious metals yesterday. Well, you know that very big and quite aggressive investment bank which had been talking the precious metals down, well, they were certainly caught out, and that was short covering most of those moves that you saw yesterday. You don't get gold moving up $60, I think even over $65 at one stage in here today, and that's sort of as a follow-on from yesterday's gain. And then silver, which pushed up over 23, got up as high as 23.44 before settling back, is currently at 23.09. But you don't get those huge moves, dollar and a half or more in silver, and the $60 in plus in gold, without plenty of short covering. The action, though, is favorable because we have a yesterday we had those significant upside keys, and if those reaction lows are able to hold, it would be very consistent with the base formation extension phase that I have been talking about. It's too soon to say that those reaction lows will hold yesterday. I think the point about precious metals here, and in so many of these other markets, is that they are really mainly a buy or an attractive buy when they are quite weak and oversold on all the technical indicators. After they've rallied sharply, I think the risks are considerably higher overall. In terms of currencies, I think that some of these sharp gains that we've seen in the euro, for instance, up at 135.30, might be hard to hold over the next few months. Sterling also up over, it was up to 161.5 here earlier today. Looks overextended to me in the short term. And I'm not sure that we're going to see those ASEAN currencies show much additional strength against the U.S. dollar here overall. But again, repeating myself, I expect further choppy action. And last but not least, what did some of the other commodity markets actually do in here today? I gave you the prices on the gold and silver. Platinum currently at $1,464. Palladium up to $735. So they've been major beneficiaries, but maybe a little overbought here in the short term. The industrial metals were all higher in here today. Not significant gains overall, but it does still look to me as if it is a support building process overall. Oil prices fortunately came back downwards here today. We've got the WTI at 106.27 and the Brent at 108.74. Those certainly aren't cheap, but they are a somewhat diminished headwind here, and fortunately they are not currently running away to the upside overall. They are high enough to make additional shale activity and deep water drilling, such as in the Gulf of Mexico, certainly attractive propositions here overall. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.